Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, it is time for this.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Sex and relationship therapy. As always, a little ears warning. Remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. So when Women's Aid are issuing statements about Love Island, you know that something toxic is going down. So this week, our topic is red flags. And our resident sex therapist is Rachel Cook, and she is on the line. Rachel, good morning.
Hiya, Jen. I love talking about this. There's so much to talk about the different types of flags, what's out there, how to recognise them, all of that.
Yeah, it's an important one to do. And in a weird way, it's kind of good that it's been brought to the forefront by Love Island. Okay, that's the only positive. It's just unfortunate that so many people have been witnessing it on the show. So let's talk about this. What are some of the most common and well-known red flags out there?
Yeah, there's actually tons of them. So I'll try and be brief, but okay. I would say the main ones really are like controlling behavior, someone with serious anger management issues, substance dependence is a really big one. Someone who shows themselves to be like highly narcissistic, so very selfish, very low empathy, that's going to be a big problem. Someone who has a real inability to deal with conflict, either by avoiding it or by massively blowing up or blaming the other person or whatever that is. Love bombing is generally quite a big one. Speaking really badly about all of their exes. If there's a pattern of deceit and dishonesty, someone who's very entitled, gaslighting, big threats to leave the relationship. And then we have ones like the kind of big four, which is like contempt, lots of criticism, lots of stonewalling, which is also known as the silent treatment. And then someone who's particularly defensive. So a lot of that will be around, again, that inability to deal with any kind of conflict. And then we have one, codependency, I would say, is another big one, which is, you know, basically a relationship addiction. That's where when people rely on each other sort of exclusively for their kind of emotional and even physical support, and it can mean enabling behaviors and being sort of addicted to the relationship as such. So there's so many,
and we've seen all of them on Love Island. But if you're starting off in your romantic journey and romantic relationships, I think, how do you know? Do you just kind of base it on how you're feeling, that good feeling that I don't feel good, or this is not making me feel good or positive? Is that how do you spot it?
Yeah, definitely taking into account your gut feelings, I think, is really important. Having a focus on that. But what we need to be aware of is that most of us have had bad experiences in the past, whether that was with exes, with friendships, with colleagues. It could have been with our own family, you know, caregivers growing up. Most of us have had experiences that haven't gone very well and lead us to have, you know, some sort of issues around trust and, you know, kind of opening up and vulnerability and stuff like that. And it also means we're going to have triggers, or at least be activated by certain behaviors in other people that might not be necessarily red flags, but it might be simply that they're reminding us of people who haven't been great to us in the past. So I think what you need to do is be very, very careful to take into account when you feel any sort of gut feeling, but not necessarily interpret it at face value. You know, just because someone says something that makes you feel uncomfortable in the moment doesn't mean it's a red flag on them. It may mean simply that you're either getting a sign that that could become something that is a pattern in time, but you don't actually have the information yet. Or it might simply be that it's brought up some kind of insecurity or vulnerability for you. So it's a very good time to reflect once you've noticed some discomfort. But certainly, you know, it is important to ask yourself, like, do I feel reasonable? You know, do I feel safe, emotionally safe in this relationship? Is the person's behavior, you know, are their words lining up with their behavior? Are they giving me mixed messages? If so, it's probably time to get out, or certainly to talk to them first. But there are some signs for sure.
And how do you differentiate between red flags and orange flags?
Well, orange flags are similar to red flags, but less severe. So a red flag is a very clear warning sign. And then an orange flag generally will tend to indicate a problem area that needs to be addressed. So, for example, a red flag might be when a partner forbids you or tries to forbid you from going to events, let's say, without them, or going out without them. An orange flag could be that they get a bit grumpy or angry when you do go out without them. So an orange flag is not necessarily a reason to end a relationship, but it absolutely requires, you know, sort of acknowledgement from from the people involved, and then kind of input and a desire to negotiate that in order to maybe not necessarily totally resolve it, but certainly be able to get it to a level that is manageable for both of you. You know, of course, there's bound to be imperfections and areas for improvement in any relationship, but realistically, no relationship should cause more harm than good, or have you sort of on edge all the time, or constantly focusing and being really preoccupied with the relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you know if it's just early dating nerves or ongoing incompatibility that are shown as red or orange flags then?
Well, unfortunately, some people start to accept red flags as part of the package rather than warning signals, you know, and then become very vulnerable to this kind of, well, what can end up being abuse, whether that's emotional, sexual, financial or physical. So I think, you know, giving people a bit of time, you know, a partner who forgets your birthday once, okay, irritating, upsetting, you know, but if you haven't been going out maybe that long and they're particularly forgetful, you know, maybe that's not a red flag. But someone who repeatedly forgets important dates is likely revealing something about who they are and what they value. You know, again, someone might have not, you know, they might be a scatty person, they might have ADHD, they might have trouble with things like that. However, they also need to be taking responsibility for things like that. So one reason that red flags can be tricky to identify is that so much else in the relationship could be going well. And so, you know, basically you kind of need a bit of time. And I would say, without sort of sitting there constantly analysing everything that someone does, it can be a good idea to just jot down a couple of things after a date, just to remind you if something came up that made you feel, you know, a bit uncomfortable or sort of confused or something like that. So that if you start to see a pattern, then you can either decide for yourself that that's a red flag and you're out, or you can start to address it with the person and see where to go from there.
What are the red flags you should just never ignore?
Do you know what? I actually think it's nearly all of the ones that I mentioned. Okay. You know, I think like there's to some degree, there are some of those flags that are to a small degree cultural, let's say codependency in parts of the Western world. Things that would be seen as codependency would be seen as kind of normal family values and ways of relating to each other in other parts of the world. So there is going to be some cultural aspects to this that change. But realistically, any kind of, you know, anger management, controlling behavior, entitlement, deceit, you know, sort of threats, possessiveness, this sort of stuff is generally going to be a big red flag, and it, you know, is a very good sign to get out of that relationship, because no matter how great other parts of the relationship are, it's probably going to be a huge amount of labor for that to change, and it may well and often doesn't change. So then you've just spent a lot of time trying to make someone into something that you saw as relationship potential, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, we're seeing this a lot in Love Island. Let's talk about the signs that someone is unavailable for a relationship.
Yeah, big one. I would say the biggest one is confusion, that you feel confused because the other person does not provide clear, consistent, reliable verbal and nonverbal communication. You know, you're getting mixed messages. The words and actions are often not aligned. Or they actually openly tell you that they're not available for what you're looking for, but you're not particularly willing to listen. That's a good one to, you know, also be aware of. Often people will say, you know, I'm not interested in a long-term relationship, or I'm not good enough for you, or this sort of stuff. That's them saying I'm not able or desiring of the sort of relationship that you are looking for. So, you know, take that at face value. You know, someone who's unavailable is a person who won't commit to agreements that they've made. They blow hot and cold. It might be that they're already married or in a monogamous relationship, or they're being unfaithful in a supposedly monogamous relationship, this sort of thing. So, you know, I would say confusion is the biggest sign that, you know, yes, of course, when you start dating someone, one or both of you or however many people are dating in that relationship, you know, you may not be sure exactly what you want out of that yet, but that's not the same as someone blowing hot and cold and not letting you know where you stand. Someone can be very clear, you know, I'm enjoying getting to know you. I'm not quite sure what I want from this relationship, but, you know, I'm really enjoying us hanging out and getting to know each other. That's very different to someone who's telling you on one hand that they want to spend the rest of their life with you, and then they ghost you.
Yeah, it's playing games with someone, isn't it? If you feel that they're playing this game with you, I mean, that is never good. You can be completely honest with someone And say, I'm not sure if I want to get into a relationship, but let's see how it goes and revisit this in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever. I mean,
big time.
Absolutely. Oh. I'm getting loads of texts in, Rachel. I just want to put them you because they're for you, really. Hi, Jen. I went on a first date recently and he asked me how much I earned in about 20 minutes. I thought this was a major red flag. Am I right?
It depends on the situation. I mean, there could easily be a context where you're talking about, I don't know, you're saying like, maybe you're talking about how you've been trying to buy a house and you're really struggling with that. You know, it could be misguided on the person's part. Maybe they're trying to problem solve for you in a way that's just a bit clumsy and not particularly maybe like, you know, emotionally aware or emotionally mature. You know, I would say that question in itself is not a red flag, but depending on the context, it totally could be. You know, if they're just fishing to find out whether you're going to be their sugar mama or, you know, whatever it is, then, you know, that is definitely could be a red flag. So yeah. I think take it on a base by base account.
Yeah.
But yeah, good question.
Let's not get too hung up on nerves as well. Like, people can be very nervous in first dates and say stupid things. I mean, give them a chance as well. Had a first date before and the girl was 30 minutes late with no apology and no explanation. I thought this was a red flag because I wasn't impressed. But that's like, that's a red flag to that person, isn't it? Because they're not willing to put up with lateness, obviously.
Yes. So there, I would say people have very, very differing kind of bandwidths for timekeeping and lateness. And we have to take into account some people are neurodivergent and really, really struggle with timekeeping and organization. Some people it's just not their strong suit. For other people, they're just not that bothered by time and kind of like waiting around. Whereas for others, people being even 5 minutes late just really upsets them. So I think, you know, being clear about where you stand on that, the fact that someone was 30 minutes late and didn't apologize in any way, I mean, that's not great. You know, realistically, most people are going to know that someone is not going to be delighted with someone being more than 5 or 10 minutes late. So realistically, even if you're not given some huge convoluted explanation or justification for why it was, at least be respectful and say, I'm really sorry you were waiting. Can I get you the first drink? You know,
exactly. Another one, a lad I dated before wouldn't talk about his family like at all. We dated a few months and I understood it for a few weeks, but then I thought he'd tell me about it at some point. He never did. Obviously something traumatic there, but I wish I hadn't wasted the few months on him, this texter says.
Yeah, good one. So I would say there, of course, now often I see, which I think is really bad advice, which is if someone speaks badly of their family, that's a red flag in itself. And it's like some people have had really crap, abusive families. You know, some people have had really difficult upbringings. And so, you know, the idea that someone is only speaking badly, like, sure, if you're just having a chat, you know, on a first date about family and someone spends half an hour telling you how awful and traumatic their upbringing is, probably they're not quite in the stage for you to have a sort of, you know, maybe reciprocal relationship, or it's just going to be quite a lot of labor. However, lots of people, of course, have had traumatic upbringings. And so I think being able to discuss that again, it's more about the lack of communication around the topic rather than necessarily talking about the topic, if that makes sense. If someone was to say, look, you know, my family situation is very mixed up and, you know, it's just quite painful at times and it's something that I'd really want rather wait until further down the line to talk about. That's very different to someone literally refusing to acknowledge that their family exists, which just creates a weird dynamic in the conversations that you're having.
Should you be honest with your partner about, you know, any red flags that you're picking up on?
I think it's really up to you whether you do that, because obviously if they're being abusive, you don't owe them an explanation and you need to just get out. You may decide that you want to be upfront with them. Just take your safety into account, depending on the kind of behavior that they've shown and the kind of patterns that you've seen. So you're definitely not obliged. However, you might feel more comfortable, or if it's that it's still somewhat up in the air as to whether it is genuinely red flags or it's kind of, you know, orange flags mixed with stuff that is you know, potentially just quite activating or triggering for you personally, that you might decide it's well worth at least having some conversations that may lead to things being negotiated and being better, or it may simply lead to you having, you know, a better sense of closure. Not because closure is always possible and certainly not necessary in relationships, but sometimes it can be very gratifying to feel, although it's sad that the relationship is ending, that you have a clear sense of where you stand and where each person is at.
Okay, and let's just finish with green flags. What are the most important green flags in a relationship?
Oh, I would say, okay, green flags, clear, consistent communication.
Yeah,
that's a massive one. Aligned values and desires for the relationship. Again, it may not be in the first couple of dates necessarily that you're laying out that you want to, you know, get married within 6 months and start having kids. But, you know, that you can kind of begin to speak about what you want, that someone can say, I'm only up for some, you know, casual sex at the moment, like, so, or something that's casual but still committed, or I'm open to something developing. And you get the sense that that is actually true rather than something that they're just saying to get into your pants. Capacity for self-reflection and taking responsibility for their part in situations. And so the ability to listen, good boundaries. And a big one then I would say is kindness, which is not the same as people pleasing or self-sacrificing, which is more about someone kind of trying to alleviate their own discomfort around conflict or being thought of badly. But someone who's genuinely kind and seems to care about the world, I think that goes a long, long way and is something that we don't see enough of on some of these dating shows. So I think that's a really good one to look for as
kindness
well.
Kindness is not good telly, Rachel.
No, it's not.
Terrible.
It really isn't.
It's boring. You know, no one's talking about it. We don't have content for radio.
People feel safe. People feel safe and happy. We can't be having that.
I love that. Clear, consistent communication. And if you're still confused about flags, maybe just watch Netflix. He's just not that into you.
Oh, well, that's another. I really like that you said that, you know, because this is another one. I have lots of people coming to me at times saying, look, this lad or this person has, you know, is giving me real mixed signals. And then they explain what the mixed signals are. And I'm like, I'm sorry, love. It sounds like he's just not that into you.
I know. It's just as clear as that. And I blame friends and family, because if you're going through a bit of a confusing time with a partner, they always go, it's not you. It's like you're just too good for him. He really loves you, but he's in a bad place with him. And give him time. Don't listen to anybody. If you're just clear, consistent communication, that is what you're looking for. And like Rachel said, if you're still confused, he's just not that into you. Really, let's be honest here. Rachel, thank you so much for that. And you can follow Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant, on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. A really good chat there on flags and things to avoid and things to look out for. She will be back next week. If you have a question or you would like us to put anything to her, you can get in touch with the team 24/7. Just email jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.